said, let's begin. Natalie, I was just going to thank you. Are you still here? Okay. So I always begin with thanking Natalie. Baruch Hashem also, it's a mazel tov, and Shav Simcha Naches with all of us together, to make Simchas together. Last year, I don't remember when, but I mentioned to you that there's a wonderful friend of mine who was giving a ride to a great tzaddik, and he asked the tzaddik, tell me, Rabbi, why do you love me so much? Because this tzaddik shows this friend of mine great love. And the tzaddik said to him, because you know, Shir HaShirim, there's the marshal of Shir HaShirim, there's the marshal of Chasan and Kala, who are in love, and there's the Nimshal. The Nimshal, of course, means Hashem and the Jewish people. That's the Nimshal. And the tzaddik said to this friend of mine, I love you so much because all of my chassidim, they really think about just the Nimshal. But I love you because you really care about the marshal also, meaning that you care about the marshal of Shir HaShirim in your own life with your wife. So I want to talk about that. It's the last week of Shavuot. And during this time of the year, I always speak to the Chevra about the inyan of relationships, especially in the home, the husband and the wife. Most everybody here is married, is going to be Mitzvah Shem married at the right time. So I want to begin, though, speaking about the Nimshal. Let's talk first about Kodesh Brich Hu and Knesset Yisrael, about Hashem and His Kala. The Nesiva Shalom, Zchus Yigalenu, the Slonim Rebbe, in Parshas Pekudei, writes the following. Hinei b'chayiv shal Yehudi, in the life of a Jew, yesh zmanim me'irim v'yesh zmanim chashuchim. In the life of each and every one of us, there are times of light, there are brighter times, and there are zmanim chashuchim, and there are darker times in a person's life. Val Yehudi ladas shechashecha ka'ira, and a Jew must know that the same way that he has to serve Hashem during times of light, he has to serve Him during times of darkness. Everything is from Hashem, and therefore even during a time of darkness, when a person is going through difficulties, he must know that he has a Yehud, that he has a Yehud, a Tafkir, he has a responsibility, he has a job to do during the time of darkness as well. The same way that during illuminated times of life, there's a Seder of Avoda that a person has, in davening and learning and mitzvahs and so on, there's a Seder of Avoda during a time of darkness also. Al pi Hashem yachnu, v'al pi Hashem yiso. As it says, when we were journeying through the desert, al pi Hashem, we traveled with Hashem always. We traveled, we encamped. And there are times in life when we're moving, we're traveling, things are going great. And there are times that are called times of encampment, when we feel stuck, when we're not moving. But both of those times, the Rebbe explains, the Torah tells us, must be al pi Hashem. It's not the natural instinct of a person. The natural instinct of a person is when things are not going well. It's not a time of growing. It's not a time of avoda. So I'm just in a bad place. And the Rebbe ends and says, "Yesh shakadosh baruch hu rotzeh shia avduhu mitoch hoshech." There are times in life that Hashem davka wants us to serve Him in a state of darkness. V'yesh rotzeh shia avduhu mitoch or, and there are times that He wants us to serve Him in a lichtiger light, in a way that's illuminated. during the times of darkness, Hashem is saying, I want you to serve me, even though right now you feel a cloud. You feel a cloud that's hovering over you. You feel a certain darkness in your life. I want you to serve me. Now, let me explain a little bit what this means. Chazal revealed to us in the sixth paragraph of Pirkei Avos one of the most important yesodas of life. But there Chazal are talking about the different traits that are required of a person in order to be somebody who is able to acquire the Torah. And one of the characteristics that Hashem Yisbarach tells us is necessary in life is called Hamakir Es Mekomo, one who recognizes the place that he's in. Obviously, it's not talking about that you know you're in Muncie and you're not in New Jersey or something. That's not what it means, Hamakir Es Mekomo, right? Hamakir Es Mekomo means that there are times when a person who recognizes this is a time of advancement, this is a time of progress, this is a place that I could accomplish certain things. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Weren't
expecting
such a thing.
Sorry.
Is it the topic? What is it?
I don't even know what the title is. Sorry. So again, this mead of Hamakiris Makoma means that you have to know your place. There's a time that is ripe for advancement and progress and to accomplish great things. And there are other times in life, under the cloud, when you have to know that if you're going to push and make yourself crazy, it's not going to go. You have to makir es makomo. And makir es makomo means that a certain type of avoda that would be appropriate and would work for you at a different time in life and a different place in life is not going to work for you now. And that's okay. I'm going to explain what this means, to be makir es makom, to know one's place. One of the Rishonim is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, as you all know, is the grandson of Rashi. And Rabbeinu Tam writes in Sefer HaYosha, Tzorach bal ha'avoid l'hakir b'tchilas avodaso. When a person is somebody who is seriously serving Hashem, at the beginning of discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life, he says, Tzorach bal ha'avoid l'hakir b'tchilas avodaso, one must realize, ki ahava v'asina milchamos shteihem. That in life, there's always this tension between love and hate. What does that mean? Pam tigbur ha'achas. There are times in life, for reasons that we often can't explain, where you feel a love for Hashem, where you feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pam tigbur ha'shnia. And there are times that kivyachol, you can't stand, not that you can't stand Hashem, but you can't stand davening and learning and whatever else Avodas Hashem consists of. So in the beginning, Rabbi Nathan says, when one starts to serve Hashem, in the beginning of that relationship with God, especially if you, a person, those of you who are Balei Tshuva, Balei Tshuva, you know that upon discovering Yiddishkeit and beginning one's service of Hashem, it's with excitement, it's with cheshek, it's with ahava, and the davening is fantastic, and to do a mitzvah, and to learn. Rabbi Tam refers to these days as Yemei Ahava, days of love. Yes, Yemei Ahava. There are times in one's life that are called Yemei Ahava, times of love. But there's no question, Rabbi Tam says, that it's inevitable that those days are going to pass, and there are going to be other types of days that are called Yemei Sina, which doesn't mean, God forbid, to literally hate or despise, but it means there are times when you feel distant from Hashem. You can't identify with your davening, with your mitzvahs, with your learning. your Yiddishkeit doesn't have a tam, doesn't have a taste, has lost its excitement, and so on. But the nature of a person, Rabbi Natan says, is that during that period that's called Yimei Sena, a time of distance, the natural tendency of a person is to just sort of wait it out, to turn away, to go away, or to just do nothing until the mood changes, until, for whatever reason, that cloud came, the cloud goes away. But he says this is a tremendous mistake that we make in life. This is a tremendous toast, it's a tremendous mistake. Because this chiluf... sorry, next time we'll do it differently. No, not now. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to think of how I can let more people in. Over here?
We can move.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. Okay. Great, that's so smart.
Your hands are very tall.
I apologize. Next time it's next time if we go downstairs, then we won't have so many people. It's a limud. Everybody should always try to be on time. And we'll have a better sense of how many people are here. That's how life is. Because what Rabbi Natan is saying, this chiluf, this change from Yimei Ahava to Yimei Sena, good times to bad times to good times. What he's saying is that it's a chok, it's a teva, it's something that's just part of life. It's part of life, that's the way things are. And therefore it's a mistake to look at those days when that excitement or that thrill of being a Jew wanes and even disappears. It's a mistake to see that as a siman that Hashem doesn't want you, or you have no shaykhis, you have no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Natan is saying that a Jew has to know that even when things are going well and you're in a period that's called Yimei Ahava, that the time will come that that's not going to be that way. And he writes, V'achar kein im techlash ahava v'tichbet hasina, when you feel that love is weakening and the other way is becoming strong, al yihi no ashmin ha'avoda, don't stop your avodas Hashem, don't give up your avodas Hashem, al yihi noyash min ha'avoda rak yeda ki leketz yamim tachlof, to know that this is a way of life and it's going to pass. So instead of a person drawing conclusions about his state of a relationship with Hashem or his lack of relationship with Hashem, and instead of acting upon Chas v'Chalila in a negative way and reaching some sort of conclusion about how he doesn't have a true relationship with Hashem because he's now under this dark cloud, Rabbi Natan is saying one has to know that these emotions, these feelings of closeness and of distance cannot be koveya, cannot establish one's way of thinking of his relationship with Hashem. He says that in general, the Sfarim tell us, Tanuk Tmidi Eino Tanuk, that even though it's no fault of a person, why is it that things were going so well, and one's Yiddishkeit was exciting, and then that time passes? Tanuk Tmidi Eino Tanuk means that the Sfarim tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made the world in such a way where in order for a person to be excited, that there are darker times that come in the middle, and then for again reasons we don't understand, that passes. Because a tanuk tmidi, an ongoing pleasure or delight in any relationship, is tanuk tmidi eno tanuk. It's no longer a tanuk. It's no longer pleasurable. I remember there was years ago there was a very close friend of mine that he landed the most unbelievable job imaginable. It was that he got a job in we lived in Queens on Main Street in Shimon's Pizza Shop. And he was given permission by the owner that, you know, you can give your chevra pizza, you know, it's okay. Shimon was a really nice guy. I haven't seen him, but he's a really nice guy. And this is, we're talking about a long time ago. And he can give the chevra pizza. So we were just like four slices, five slices, I'll have a pie. And Shuki, my friend Josh, was just serving up the pizza to all chevra. And that's when I still ate pizza. At some point I realized that it's cheese, like, and I don't like cheese, so I stopped eating it. But at that point I still really liked pizza. And the guys were going, in the beginning, you know, the pizza was coming out, and Shuki himself would sit with us in between, and we would fresh on pizza. But tanuk tmidi, eino tanuk, you know, if you have all the pizza you want, you don't have a cheshik, you lose your cheshik for it. It doesn't have a taste anymore. So Hashem Yisbarach was koveya, Hashem established in creation that even when it comes to the pleasure of being a Jew and the excitement of serving Him, it just doesn't last. It doesn't continue on and on and on. Something comes in the way. And there are interruptions, there are pauses, there are breaks in that. And therefore, as I said before, it says in the Mishnah, that a person has to be makir es makamo. It's one of the great yesodas in the Chassidus Sfarim, is not to become depressed, to become brokenhearted, to be discouraged and disheartened during those times that are called Yemei Sena. It happens in life. It's inevitable. And the tachlis of that is that Hashem wants us to be able to come to a certain hischachus, to come back to Him with a certain excitement and a certain freshness that we were becoming accustomed to something or got used to something and it needed hischachus. What is the avoda that Rabbeinu Tam is talking about? During those periods of life, in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're still talking only about the nimshal of Shir HaShirim, our relationship with Hashem. So when it's not Shir HaShirim, Dick, when we're in a state of Shir HaShirim with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's Lechtach Zachart Lachesed Nereich, Ahavis Kol Asayich, Hashem is madly in love with us, we're madly in love with Him, and we're doing all kinds of great things, mitzvahs and all kinds of chesed, and everything is terrific. But then the cloud comes, and that romantic Shir HaShirim relationship with Hashem seems to have stopped. It seems to have ended. What's the avodah during that time? So the Svarim tell us that the avodah, the tafkid, because Rabbeinu Tam was warning us, don't think that you don't have a tafkid during that time. The nature of a person is when he's going through what nowadays is called a yerida, is that he just lets go. He just lets go. He lets go with his eating, or her eating. He lets go with what he watches, looks at, on a show or the computer, just to let go. What's the avoda during Yemei Sina, during the time of Sina, of distance, a feeling far away? So the Svarim tell us that the tafkid of a person who's makir es makamo, who recognizes that I'm now under this cloud, I'm now not feeling this connection with Hashem. The Svarim tell us, especially in the Chabad Svarim, but all the Svarim tell us, that the avodah during that time is an avodah of Kabbalah Sol. Kabbalah Sol. What does it mean, Kabbalah Sol? Kabbalah Sol means that the most basic avodah during that time is to continue on. Kabbalah Sol. Kabbalah Sol means I recognize that right now I'm not going to be, like I tell the guys, I'm not going to be making siyums. I'm not going to be davening with a fire. I'm not going to be the best guy in the shiur. But that doesn't mean that I stop davening, stop learning. It doesn't mean that I stop caring. Kabbalah Sol means right now I have to be like the ox that carries its burden, even though it's a schlep, even though it's hard. I'm going to push myself to continue on to be good. I don't have to be great. I don't have to make any kind of great, exciting changes in my life now. But Kabbalah so. But the Svarim go another step. There's something that the Chassidish Svarim call Tanug She'eno Murgash. What do those words mean? Tanug is pleasure. She'eno Murgash means a pleasure that one doesn't feel. And the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that during those days under the cloud, when there's a darkness in a person's life, when you're not feeling Shir HaShirim Dik at all, that doesn't mean Chalila that the Rebbeinu Shlom is not there with you. It doesn't mean that you're not a Jew that's filled with Elokus, with godliness. It means that right now, in a conscious way, you don't feel that relationship. You feel distant from Hashem. But if you're Mizboinen, if you think deeply, and you're a person that believes in the Or Hashem, the light of Hashem that is gone, that is hidden within the heart of a Jew, you're able to have a tanug, a pleasure, that is eino murgash. It's a pleasure that you can't necessarily feel emotionally, but you know that it's there. You know that it's there. So, the avoda in pnimius during times of distance, the Svarim tell us, during the Yemei Asinah, in a certain way, that avoda is on a higher level than how you're serving Hashem when you really feel like it. Because when you really feel like it, then you're motivated by your emotions, you're excited, and you're driven to do more and more. That's when you're really into it. But when you're going through a time of sinner, that's called a time that Rabbeinu Tam calls of sinner, of distance, of being far from Hashem, you're able to be you're able to find within yourself a certain reality that's called in the Svarim Dveikus Etzem, that I, by virtue of the fact that I'm a Jew, even though I feel nothing in my davening, I feel nothing in my learning, I feel no interest in doing mitzvahs, I'm dragging myself just to say in an ashrei, a yishtabach, it's so hard for me. But why am I continuing to do that? What is it inside of me that somehow motivates me still to try to be mekabel o malchus shemayim, not to throw the towel, not to throw in the towel, but to continue? So that's called dveikus etzem. It means because in the essence of who I am, I'm inseparable from God. In the essence of who I am, I cannot live without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even at this moment, this period of my life that I'm under this dark cloud, I live with that belief that the same Rebbeinu Shlalom who gives life to me when we're in a relationship of Shir HaShirim, when things are great, that same Rebbeinu Shlalom, that same infinite light of Hashem is within me now. And as it says in Shir HaShirim, Achastiv v'lo arpanu. Rebbeinu Shlalom, even though I feel nothing, I don't have any interest in our relationship right now, I'm not going to let go of you. I'm not going to let go of you. I'm not going to just give myself over to, God forbid, to things that are not appropriate for a person who's an Eved Hashem. I'm not going to let go. So Davke, during the times that are called Yimei Sinah, it's possible for a person to become attached to what's called the Nekudas HaChayim, the Etzem HaMetzias of a Jew. Let me give you a simple marshal. If it's ever happened to any of you, and I'm sure that it has, that a person finds oneself somewhere where there are absolutely no Jews at all, in a place where there are no Jews. You're on business, you're on a trip someplace, you went somewhere, and there isn't any Jew for miles, and there isn't anything Jewish about the place that you're in. And then in that matzav, in that state of feeling very different and not belonging, all of a sudden, you meet a Jew. You meet somebody. Not anybody that you ever met in your life. And most likely, you'll never meet this person again. Maybe with Mashiach, we'll get together in Yerushalayim. But for the meantime, you never met this person. Now, if you would be with this person together and a regular day that you would in shul, or a regular day in the neighborhood, you would feel, I don't have a shaychus to this person bechlal. I like vanilla, she likes chocolate. I like this kind of music, she likes that kind of music. I'm this type of Yiddishkeit, I'm a Chassidische, she's a Litvische, I'm Ashkenazi, she's a Sephardi. Under normal circumstances, if you were surrounded by Cherva, you wouldn't feel a connection at all. But now what happens is a remarkable thing. It's just the two of us. And all that we share in common is that we're both Jews. Everybody has felt this. And in that matzav of Davke, a difficult, strange, being in a difficult and strange place, and being in a certain way under a dark cloud of being lonely and so on, you don't have any requirements at all of that person. I don't care whether you're Hasidisha or Lifisha. I don't even care if you're religious or you're not religious. I don't care if you wear stockings, if you wear sleeves. I don't care if your husband wears a kippah sugar, a strimal. I don't care if you're a Zionist, you're an anti-Zionist. I don't care if you're from Satmar, from Lakewood, from Lubavitch. I don't care if you're Tamani, if you're Moroccan. I don't care, Mistayid. At that moment, there's a dveikus be'etzem. In other words, that dveikus that you have with that person, and you're sticking together now. You're sticking together. I remember there was a teacher when I taught in yeshiva, there was an English teacher, named Harriet, and she was a very, very secular Jew. You remember her? She was a wonderful person, secular person. She was teaching English in the afternoon in the school. She started to pick up on some Jewish things by being with the rest of us, and we all loved her, and she was one of the chevra. But she told us once an interesting thing. She said that when she teaches in public school, because in the morning she was in public school, she said that especially when it comes to the time of their holidays, that they have to show up at a Christmas party, at a New Year's party, to be part of the school. She said, it's the strangest thing. All of the Jews end up like in one corner of the room, like huddling with each other in the corner. And she said, not one of us has anything to do with Judaism. Nothing. Maybe, you know, a Hanukkah candle, the most religious one. A matzah, maybe, a taste on Pesach. But nothing, nothing. And she said, but we just find each other. And we just end up always in this little group in the back of the room. The Sfarim tell us that even though when I'm with this person normally, I'm checking what's your hashkafa, and I want to see your resume. Mm-hmm. Right? I want to see your resume. What would it be if there was only one Jewish boy and one Jewish girl left? Chas v'chalila. Do you really think that he would ask for the resume? Or he would say, you know, send me a picture. Like he gets a text message, Yankel, that's it, I'm the only girl left. So I don't know. I really don't know. I need to look into this more. I'd like you to please send your picture. Shaila, by my father, I went to Kaparas Mishkova by the Shiva. I was so people always were asking, so how did your father, how did your father and mother meet? So I said that there were no resumes. Basically, you survived, you're Jewish, it's a Shiva. And you know what? 67 years of such a beautiful Shira Shir. Really? 67 years of Shira Shir. You survive. You're Jewish. So. Because that Dveikus Davke, that was at the most difficult time of their lives. They were under such a dark cloud where their families were killed. And those Jews, not that that worked out for everybody that way. I know that there were plenty of relationships that didn't work out that way. I'm not talking about in the end how it worked out when things settled down. I'm talking about what is it that brought these Jews together. There was a Dveikus Be'etzem. And Dveikus Be'etzem means, I don't really know what your Hashkaf is, I'll tell you the truth. I'm not really interested whether you say Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut or whether you burn an Israeli flag. That's not the point right now. The point is that Davka, during this time, you and I recognize our Mokum right now as being in a place that is dark, hostile, strange. We feel out of our sorts. We just feel away. I'm able to come to a recognition that there is something that binds you and I together that's deeper than any hashkafa, that's deeper than any custom of whether you wear gartla, shaitla, shtreimel, deeper than any of that. It's a mitzias of etzem, etzem atzamai, that you and I come from the essence of the same world. You and I come. They can't articulate it. They don't know, just like at the Christmas party with the Jewish teachers in the back of the room. There's no explanation for it. They don't try to understand why is this happening. It's not just because we don't celebrate. They don't care about this party or that party. They're not anti-Kratzmach, you understand? And they're not necessarily into Hanukkah. But in that matzav that they're in, suddenly they're drawn into a place that transcends all of the external differences that separate them. And all that's left is Ani Yehudi, Vata Yehudi. I am a Jew, and you're a Jew. So. Anybody that's ever been, God forbid, in a situation where you were afraid or you were in danger. And my father told me from the time that I was a little boy, because in those years we used to go on the trains and buses and in the city by ourselves, kids. I don't know now if they still do, but we used to go as little children. I went to school in a place called Jamaica. I don't mean the islands, I mean in Queens. That's where I went to yeshiva. In Jamaica. Jamaica was a dangerous place. Even then, it was starting to get very dangerous. I once had a guy that didn't was upset with me for some reason, and he took my little briefcase that I had with my Flintstones lunchbox and everything, and he just, when the door of the bus opened up, he grabbed me and threw it out into the street. And I had to scream and beg the bus driver, who was laughing along with that guy, and only like three stops later, he let me off, and I had to go looking for my things on the street. That's, you know, and I was a little kid. My father said to me always, just find a Jew if you can. Makes no difference if he wears the yarmulke or not. If you know that he's a Jew, just stay with him. Wherever you are, find a Jew. Just stay with a Jew. Find a Jew wherever you are. And you'll be okay. You'll be okay. There's a Dveikus Be'etzem. A Dveikus Be'etzem. Because that relationship is a relationship that's on the level of neshama. It's not on the level of guf, of my body. It's not even on a level of nefesh. In that world of nefesh and guf, I'm asking for the resume. I have to be with my chevra, with my group. Like nowadays, people only daven with, if you're a vegetarian, you have to go to the vegetarian shul. If you're 32 years old, you don't want to see anybody that has gray hair. You know what I'm talking about. That's what's going on now. I can only be with my own type. If God forbid anything bad would ever happen to us, would make the slightest difference. You know that. It would make the slightest difference of how old that Jew is, what the hashkof is, whether the person's religious or not religious. You're a Jew and you're a survivor. Zakol. All of this is in the world of the nimshal between Hashem and a Jew. So davka during a time when you're not really at the top of your game with your Yiddishkeit, and there's that dark cloud over your davening and your learning, you can find within yourself a dveikus betzem that says, Rabbi Shalom, I gotta tell you the truth, I don't really feel like talking to you much. I have no particular interest in davening or learning. I'm not going to spearhead the next women's Amuna galactical meeting or anything. I'm not doing that. None of that stuff. But I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm with you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm not doing too great, but I'm not leaving you. That dveikus is a dveikus be'etzem. Some of the most memorable Shabbos that a person ever has in life are not the ones when you're sitting around your beautiful dining room table with all the china and everything great with the family and the zmiras and your favorite meal. But if you were ever in a situation where it was just crazy and you got stuck on the highway, you didn't know what to do and there was nowhere to go, and you ended up being by yourself somewhere for Shabbos and you couldn't even go out of the room because of the key or the door or the whatever it is, you couldn't go out and there was nowhere to go, and you had in your bag a couple of cookies and maybe a little bottle of Kedem grape juice, and you stood there by yourself in some Arois Gavaf indicate place in God's world where Adam Rishon was never even there, and you say in that place you go, that Shabbos you remember your whole life. The Shabbos with the china, the Shabbos with the delicious food, not HaShabbos. It's beautiful, but it's not HaShabbos. Another Shabbos. But the ones, those Shabboses where there was nothing, and you were alone, and you felt this is horrible. I can't believe this, that I'm stuck in this miserable place for Shabbos. But you made it a Shabbos somehow. And even though you were sitting by yourself and you were so lonely, but you were able to crank out a Kari Ban Olam, a little Zmiris by yourself. I don't know if you ever had that, to sing Zmiris, Chas V'Shalom by yourself, to sing, and to wash, and to make Hamoisi by yourself, to have Dvar Torah with HaKadosh Baruch by yourself. Those are Shabboses of Dveikus Etzem. That's when you find out that who you really are. That even though I'm in a bad place, and I'm not, this is not the way my Yiddishkeit is supposed to look, I'm a Yid, I'm a Jew. I'm a survivor and I'm a Jew, and this is what a Jew does. I make Yiddish. I don't have all the fancy stuff, and I don't have my the 25 dips. I don't have all that stuff. I have nothing. I have a box of Tam Tams. You know what those are? I have a box of Tam Tams. Zehu, that's all I have. I put them together and I say, Baruch Shalom, please consider this to be my Lechem Mishnah. I couldn't get to the bakery. It's my Lechem Mishnah. My two Tam-Tams. What a Shabbos. It was the most gewaldig. Not that we wish it should be. Everybody should have a nice Shabbos at home. But it's the most gewaldig Shabbos. And you remember it your whole life. Davka during the difficult times. Al-Pi Hashem Yisro, Al-Pi Hashem Yachnu. When I just wasn't in a good place. But Davka there, I realized that I can't live without you. That there's something that holds me together with you, and I refuse to let go. That's really what my father, Harini Kaparas Mishkova, that's really what my father, when he spoke about the Muhammad, that's really how he spoke about it. He spoke about it as discovering a certain reality, that's something that will never change in his life. It's just a reality of, this is who I am. Not what I necessarily enjoy right now, not what is exciting or fun for me right now, but it's something that I must do because I can't live without it. Now let's go to the marshal. Now, it's already a little bit late, quickly. Let's go to the marshal. The marshal of Shir Hashem is a husband and wife. Chas Nakala, husband and wife. So this can move relatively quickly. In marriage, in relationships, with friends also, but it's much, much, much more. It's much more of a sensitive issue, and it's felt in a much deeper way, obviously, with the husband and wife. So we're going to take Rabbeinu Tam's lesson of Yemei Ahava and Yemei Sina. Rabbeinu Tam taught us that in life, no matter what you do, there are going to be days of love of Hashem, and there are going to be days of distance from Hashem. And that's certainly true when it comes to a husband and wife. When it comes to every marriage, it comes to a chas v'shalom, a husband and wife, there's no question that at some point after the wedding, I've dealt with chasanim and kalas. Sometimes it's during Shavuot brachas. Sometimes you can make it for a couple of weeks longer, where there's an uninterrupted excitement and happiness and so on. But inevitably, what's going to happen is that the feelings of excitement, of love, subside. Sometimes there's a feeling of, what did I do? I don't know this person. Do I really know this person? Is this really what I wanted to do in life? Is this a person that I really wanted to marry? Maybe I made a mistake. There's a time of feeling so distant that even for one to look at the other one and for one to speak to the other one could even be painful. Could be difficult. There have been fights, there are arguments, and so on. Obviously, I'm not talking about chas v'chalil, an abusive situation. I'm not talking about something like that. It's the regular way of this world. In the same way, Rabbi Natan said that in relationship with Hashem, there's a chok, there's a law that Hashem created, that things cannot remain in the state of tanug tamidi, of perpetual pleasure. Just can't. Hashem didn't make the world that way. So inevitably, there's going to be in a marriage yimei sinah, times that are called times of, doesn't mean mamish hatred, means times of terrible, terrible disengagement, of distance. So now, Chazal told us that a person has to be makir es makomo. You have to be able to identify that time of your life. And you have to therefore recognize that I am no longer in the... Right now I'm not in Yimei Ahava. I'm not at a time of love. I'm not at a time where that tanug, where that pleasure is something that I feel in my life of that relationship. I'm not in a state of Shir Hashirim right now. I feel like I'm in Iyov or in Koheles, but I don't feel like I'm in Shir Hashirim right now. So then the question is, what's the tafkid? Rabbi Natan says, be careful, because what happens to people very often in their relationship with Hashem, that when there's a distance, they just say, I guess I'm not the person I thought I was. This happens a lot, especially with guys that come back from Eretz Yisrael from being yeshiva, and girls that come back from seminary. So when they're in seminary, they feel, it's a gevaldik, and all the learning and the shiurim, and they're davening 40 days at the kaisel, and it's not a shiur hashiurim. Not everybody experiences seminary that way, but there are many that do, and they feel very excited and everything is great. And then when they return to the like C minor of day-to-day life away from Yerushalayim, they feel that kisui ha'anan that the Sonar was talking about. They feel like there's a dark cloud. And what happens very often is that a person starts to think that whole thing was just a fake. I was just going along with everybody and all the teachers and seminary, and I was just playing along, and I was just trying to act the role of being some real firm person. And I see that I'm not really like that. I don't care about davening. I don't really feel like wearing the clothing that I was so proud to wear when I was going up and down Malchi Yisrael, you know? I don't feel like that anymore. I don't feel that. And therefore, as a result of that, what often happens to the post-seminary, Eretz Yisrael Yeshiva Bacher, is that they just re-identify themselves, that I'm not the Jew that I thought I was. Now that happens in marriage all the time. It happens all the time because it's natural, especially with the Chasna Kala, when they have their first real serious disagreement. But it's throughout the marriage, when something really terrible happens and there are real nasty words that are spoken, and you feel like, I can't believe I'm in this. What kind of a person is that? How did I end up? How could he have said that to me? How could she have said such things? And you feel that this is the ason ha-asonot. This is the greatest tragedy of my life. And it's the end of the world. And then, God forbid, what often happens is that during that terrible, terrible fight, one inevitably mentions the gimel word, that means get, or the D word, which is divorce. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in the office down the hall where one will say, "But you said that you wanted a divorce. That's what you were talking about, that you can't stand me, you want a divorce." And that word passes between the two of them. I told you once a story. I'll just tell it to you now, the 30-second version. It's really sweeter to tell it longer, but it's already late. But some of you heard the story, either from me or you saw it in the Sefer, when the Alter Rebbe, Zchus Shalom, the Baal Tanya, was running away from Napoleon, the army of Napoleon, because the Baal Tanya, as you know, was a supporter of the Russians against Napoleon. And the French army was chasing after the Alter Rebbe. So he went with many caravans of his family, and the entire trip was being financed by a wealthy Jew. I don't remember his name. It was Rabbi Yitzhak, I think, something. But that Rabbi Yitzhak was financing the entire trip. And they were going, all of the wagons, the Alter Rebbe and his children and grandchildren and so on, they were going. But this Rabbi Yitzhak with his wife and family. And they finally were able to stop to on Erev Shabbos to spend Shabbos someplace, and it was Erev Shabbos. And what happened was, is that this Rabbi Yitzchak took a very nice room in a fancy hotel, as fancy as it could be in Russia in those days, a hotel. He took a room, and he's on the porch, on the merpeset, with his wife, and they're having a huge fight on the merpeset. What's the fight? She tainas, you're using up all the money that we have to pay for the Rebbe and his family. Why couldn't the Rebbe just come with his Rebbetzin? Why do we have to spend for his grandchildren, for the whole mishpacha? And we're using up all of our money. And she was fighting with him. He was saying, it's a schus, with the Rebbe, and it'll be okay. And she was yelling, and they're going back and forth. And they were fighting and arguing, and she came up against the railing of the merpeset, which was around 3 or 4 flights up, and she fell off. She fell down. And people start screaming down below, that the ones that were just listening to this fight and enjoying it, all of a sudden, everybody starts to scream gewalt, and Nebuchadnezzar Yitzchak runs down with, Sarvala, 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 and he runs down, and she's tight, dead, like on the floor, finished. It was a terrible fall, and she fell down, and they were all screaming to go run to get the Rebbe, get the Rebbe, go get the Rebbe. So a couple of chassidim, they're running to the altar where the altar Rebbe was staying. They go there and they say, Rebbe, Yitzchak and his wife, it happened at Meis, and she fell off the mepeset on top. And they see the Baal Tanya like is not rushing. He just like says, I'll be with you in a second, And he gets his coat and he gets his shtekel, his stick and his hat, and he's walking, to the scene of this terrible accident. And all the people are standing around, and the husband is crying, what did I do, what did I do, what did I do, my sorrow. And she's lying dead on the floor. And all the chavrusis, the Alter Rebbe comes over there. Some of you remember the story? Mm-hmm. The Alter Rebbe comes over there, and he leans over next to Sarah, and he whispers something in her ear. And then she stands up, and she takes Yitzchak, and the two of them hold each other's arms, and they walk away. That's what happened. So afterwards they found out what was the incantation. Well, it was a shame of Hashem. Like, what was one of the shamest accusations? What did the Alter Rebbe? What miracle did he perform using God's names with Nebuchadnezzar, who was already not alive anymore? So, of course, she was alive. She was barely hurt, but she was hurt in a much deeper way than what happened to her from the fall. And all the Alter Rebbe said to her was, Sarala, everybody has an argument, the husband and wife. Machnis Narish, don't make yourself, don't act like a fool. Skinnik, it's enough. Get up and go home. That's all he said. Husbands and wives have arguments. No, no. It happens. That's what he said there. And then when she stood up and she walked home, and he said, they're holding hands, right? Oh, the two lovebirds, Shir, all unbelievable. Mamish from Eev, right? Eev. All the way from the lowest place of Eiv, all of a sudden, it's like the honeymoon. Yitzchak and Sarula, Shir Shir. And all the Rebbe said to them was, don't be silly. It happens in life. You're embarrassed, you're ashamed, you think that he hates you. All that the Rebbe was saying, he doesn't hate you, he's not going to divorce you. He knows you have a little bit of an inyan with money, it's okay. All that was what the Rebbe was saying. In other words, what happened at that moment of the fall and the Rebbe whispering that to Sarula's ear is that reality of Etzame Atzamai, of Adam and Chava, of a husband and wife that have been through years together of so many good things, they've loved each other in such a wonderful way. They've shared children. They've shared so many things with Hashem's blessings, Zaychet, the children. And they've shared so many wonderful experiences. There's a reason why they fell in love and they went under the chuppah together. All of those things in a split second. In 1 second, what was revealed was the Veikus Be'etzem. At that moment when Sarula was lying on the floor, Yitzchak didn't care whether she was stingy. She was a miser. Yitzchak didn't care about the arguments. I just, I, I just don't want to lose this person who is somebody who I can't live without. That's called Dveikus Be'etzem. Dveikus Be'etzem. So Davke, during that difficult moment, that difficult time, the depths, the deepest reality of that kesher, of that relationship is revealed. It's a tanuk she'eno murgash. Remember I said before, it says in the Svarim, a tanuk she'eno murgash means that all along there is that relationship, just like with Hashem. All along there's that elokus that's within me, even while I'm not davening and I don't feel like doing mitzvahs. All along there's that tanuk of wanting to have a connection. I just don't feel it, but deep inside of me the connection is there. Deep inside it's there. The Gemara tells us an amazing story. Some of you might have heard. The Gemara is in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. The Gemara says the following: Amar Rabbi Gamliel. I'm going to try to finish up now. Amar Rabbi Gamliel. Pam Achaz Sayisi Mahalik B'Svina. Rabbi Gamliel says, I was once on a boat on the ocean. V'Yisi Svina Achaz Shenishbura. And there was another boat not so far away. I guess those the boats were traveling together. And that boat, Nishbura, must have hit something and it was breaking apart. I was upset because I knew that on that boat there was a great Talmud Chacham. Umanu, who was it? Rabbi Akiva. I knew that Rabbi Akiva was on the other boat. And when I made it, when my boat made it to the dry land, Rabbi Akiva survived that shipwreck. And Rabbi Akiva came to speak to me about something in Halacha in Torah. Amartilo, and I said to Rabbi Akiva, Beni, my son, mi Halacha, how did you survive? How did you get to the shore? Amali, Rabbi Akiva said, Dav shel svina nizdamanli. There was a dav shel svina, there was a board from the boat, a piece of wood. Dav shel svina, a board of the svina of the boat, nizdamanli. I grabbed it in the water, and I was floating on that. B'chol gal v'gal shabolai, and every wave that came to kill me, but every wave that came, nenesi lo reishi, I was able to, with that board, with the dav shel svina, I was able to sort of nod my head, meaning I was able to ride the wave with that board until finally I made it to the shore. Mikan amu chachamim im yavo rishayim al adam yinan lo reishayu. That's the end of the Gemara. I'm not going to go right now into what that means. But listen to what this Gemara is teaching us. This is from the world of Rabbi Nachman and other tzaddikim. The word svina, boat, comes to the word safun. Samach pei vav nun. Safun means something that's hidden. Safun. Something that's hidden. Dav shvel svina means that when I was going through a difficult time in my life, Rabbi Kiva said, I grabbed hold of something that was deep inside of me. It's called the Dav Shel Svina. I didn't judge myself by the emotions that I was feeling at that moment, but rather I entered into something deeper. That part of me that's called the Rosh, that's called the Seichel. When Rabbi Kiva said, I motioned with my head when I was holding onto that board and I was able to ride the waves, what Rabbi Akiva is saying is the following. There are two parts to each and every one of us. There's the Rosh, there's the mind, the Seichel, and there's the Regesh, the emotions. During a time of darkness, of clouds, you don't feel anything. But in your Seichel, but in that part of yourself that's called the Rosh, in the Seichel, in the deepest Seichel that you have, there you will find a kvius that's be'etzem, meaning that if you're going to judge this situation the way that the Western world judges everything, the Western world, the world that you and I were raised in, that we're living in, believes only in a marriage that is filled with romance and with love. And if there's a time that the romance disappears, that means that the relationship is ois relationship, it's not a relationship. Rabbi Akiva said that when my boat was crashing and my world was falling apart, I held on to something deeper, there's an awareness inside of me that somehow, like those Jews at the Christmas party, and somehow like Yitzhak and his wife at that moment, that there was something that I understood, that I realized, that dawned upon me when I entered into the world of Seichel, because my emotions, my feelings, listen, what changed in Yitzhak, his wife? They had a fight. What changed with these Jews that they found each other in the corner of the room? Nothing changed in their feelings about Yiddishkeit, their emotions. But there's a subtle understanding that my relationship is something that transcends the way I feel at this moment. At this moment, I feel like I'm mamish shipwrecked. That's how I feel. Now, Western culture says that if you're feeling shipwrecked, it means that your life is finished, because that's how you feel. And everything now is about how you feel. When Rabbi Akiva says that I held on to that board, I held on to that hidden part of myself, and I nodded with my head. With my head means I tried to enter into that part of myself that is higher than my emotions, that is deeper than my emotions, that part of my seichel, where the neshama is housed, that tells me that this will pass. This will pass. And that at the end, somehow, in some way, the feelings will return. And that's how life is. And like the Rebbe told Sarala when she was on the floor, don't be a fool. Things like this happen in life. There are difficulties in life. There's Yemei Ahav and there's Yemei Sinna. And that was that. We don't have time to do it together, but this Torah that I gave you from Rav Kook is all about this. This inyan of the Seichel and the Regesh. How even when a person feels that he's mamish dying, as far as his emotions are concerned, if he's able to strengthen his Seichel to understand who he is and to think about who he is, then he'll be able to survive that. And to come back to the Yemei Ahava. And the truth is, that's really the simcha of coming to the month of Adar. Mishnichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. I'm taking extra 2 minutes because of all the tumbling with the chairs. That's so Mishnichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. You know that Adar, the Sfarim tells us, the word Adar, Aleph Dalet Resh Adar, is in the Lashon of Aderis. Aderis means a thick coat, like Aderis Eliyahu, a thick covering. The lowest month of the year is the month of Adar, because it's the end of the year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, the romance of Shir Hashirim was when? Nisan, right? That's when we left, that's Pesach, that's Gevaldik. And we reach Shir Hashirim by the Seder. That's the highest time, that's when everything is exciting and fresh and new. We began our trip with Hashem, that's Pesach. The last month of the year, counting from Nisan, which is really, in Pnimis, which is really the deepest Rosh Hashanah that we have, is Nisan. The last month, the very end, is the time of Adar. It's the time that Amalek attacks a person, and Amalek tells you that you're far from Hashem, Ashekorach HaBaderach. Look at you, look at all of the reyus you've done in your life, look how far and distant you are from Hashem Yisbarach. The month of Adar is the most distant from the beginning. It's when you're married already for a long time. It's far away from the honeymoon, it's far away from the excitement, it's far away from being under the chuppah and all the, you know, the husband is now bald and fat, and the wife is already chubby herself, and I'm not going to go into any more graphic descriptions. Each family has their own inyanim, but it's not the way that it was in the pictures. It's not the way that it was in the album. And you know, you'll find grandchildren that they're looking at your wedding album, they'll go like this. You know what I'm talking about? They keep on looking back and forth. Bubby? Zaidi? That's you. The way we were. That's a long time ago. And it doesn't... And much of that external excitement has passed. Now it's many, many years into the marriage. That's called the month of Adar. So what's Mishanichnas Adar? Marvin B'Simcha. Purim. Says in the Megillah, Nikalu v'amoid al nafsham. That at Purim and Shushan, when we were going to be destroyed, we felt so far from Hashem. We felt so distant from everything. Akedekach, that we were a whole party with Achashverosh, and we were bowing down, etc., etc. With all of that, it says in Pasuk, Nikahalu va'amod al nafsham. Davka then, we began to understand who we really are. Nikahalu amod al nafsham. We began to see the nefesh. In other words, davka when we felt the most distant, we came to this realization that we're Jews. And that's why the word Yehudim is used in the Megillah more than any other sefer of all of Tanakh. Yehudim. La Yehudim ha'isa'ar v'simcha v'sasn v'yikar. La Yehudim. La Yehudim. We're Yehudim, we're Yidden, we're Jews. And that's why the Inyan of Purim is to drink. Ad lo yoda. Now it's to come to a certain place where it's not what I know consciously or what I feel consciously. I come to a place where I'm not aware of what I'm feeling. I'm just not aware of my feelings. Ad lo yoda means that it's when I'm able to know that even though in my life there are certain days that are called Baruch Mordechai days, that's when things are great. There are other days in my life that are called Aruch Haman days. You know? Aruch Haman. In a relationship, in a marriage, there are days that are called Baruch Mordechai. And there are days in a marriage that are called Aruch Haman. Ad l'yada, what's the Simcha of Purim? Baruch Shalom, I love you. I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to stay with you. Because my life is a life of being a Jew. Ish Yehudi. Ad l'yada, ben Aruch Haman l'Baruch Mordechai. To the point that I'm able to come to that highest level of understanding, which is a level beyond my emotions and feelings, till I don't know. I can't even explain why I can't give you up. I can't explain why I can't live without you. I just know that we'll get past this, we'll get through this, and that somehow, at the end, the days of love are going to return. I just know that they're going to come back, those days of love. And that's why, Mishnechnes Oda, Marim B'Simcha. B'Simcha is the Oisius Machshava. It's not a feeling, it's not an emotion. Adar is a dark month, it's the end. But if one thinks deeply about one's Yiddishkeit and all that each one of us goes through with Hashem, Baruch Mordechai, Ar Haman, Baruch Mordechai, then we're able to come to that place where I realize this Shabbos is Shabbos Kolam, a half a shekel, like the Sfarim say, that I'm a half and Hashem is a half, and I can't live without that half of myself. I can't live. I can't explain why, I just know. That even though we're fighting, even though we're quarreling, even though it hasn't been good lately, somehow I just have to grab onto this board of what's hidden inside of us and to just nod my head and to think with my head and to remember the commitment that we made to each other and the life that we've lived with each other and all the good that we've experienced together, all the wonderful times that we've had and that we will have together. And that somehow, even without the Alter Rebbe being there whispering something into our ears, we'll be able to get up and to take Hashem by the hand and to walk with him to Yerushalayim. And we'll be able to take your husband's hand, your wife's hand, with everything that we've been through and all the disagreements and so on, we'll be able to get up and to walk together. All of us in good health with our families, yeah. To greet Mashiach Shekeinu, the Blessed Amitis,